everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Young Satire Podcast. I'm your host, Claire Corwin, and on the other line, I have a very special guest. If you have been listening to the podcast since the beginning, you may remember the fabulous Ava Proto from the third episode. And the third hello, and that was all the way back in October, early October. So 7 months later, I thought, you know what, let's just do a part two. So let's start with some life updates from Ava, and then after that, I'll chime in, since this is actually my first episode in a little over a month. So Ava, tell us about what's happened to you in the past 7 months.
Well, first of all, I'm so happy to be on again. I loved last time, and I'm so happy that we can chat again. Hello. There's a lot that's been going on in the past 7 months. It's been so short, but just so long, you know?
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Like, how is it 7 months ago when we did the podcast? It feels like I remember writing out all that stuff, because I was at the very beginning. So
yeah, I was third episode?
Yeah, third episode.
Yep. Oh my goodness. So yeah, it has definitely been a long time. Since then I got out of school, and I was at home for a while doing some online school, and recently I've gone back, and just everything in between has felt like a whole whirlwind of everything. And I've done a few ballet performances. I'm actually working on a performance that I'm gonna be in a few weeks. Right now, I have lots of rehearsals. But yeah, my whole life has just been like a hectic, crazy, crazy, crazy thing. But yeah.
That is... Okay, tell us a little bit more about ballet. Tell us about the ballet that you're going to be doing.
Okay, so actually, the one that we did last time wasn't a real, like, classical repertoire ballet. It was just a ballet that was actually composed. The music was composed for our company, New Haven Ballet, in case you didn't know. I think I mentioned that last time on that episode, but for new listeners. And Claire used to dance with us, but anyways, that's actually where I met Claire. I mean, we've pretty much cleared all this up for any new listeners. But yeah, so last time we performed a piece that was like choreographed for our company, and I had a small part, but it was very, very fun. It wasn't a full production, so I was a little upset about that. But this time around, we are doing a full-blown production of Sleeping Beauty, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. Fun fact, the movie... actually came after the ballet. The ballet was like the first version of the story besides the written version. And that was choreographed by George Balanchine, I think. Don't come at me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that he had some influences there. But yeah, we're performing that. So I am in like the court scene. So when Aurora, it's like her birthday party, that kind of thing. So I'm in the scene with the fairies, the lilac, or no, not the lilac fairy, I'm sorry. Lilac fairy is in act two. I'm with this gold fairy, silver fairy, and emerald fairy, and I'm a guest at the ball, I suppose, and I have a scene with that. And then also, we're doing a small ballet a little bit after that, but it'll be part of the same performance. Basically, we're going to have some of our younger members of our company, so like some people in the children's division. So I'm working with 6 and 7-ish year olds, and we are putting on like a small choreographed performance that isn't, it's not, again, not part of a classical repertoire, but it's super exciting to work with a bunch of young kids and get to show them my love of ballet and hopefully teach them something new.
That, Ava, every time, you just are so good at talking.
Thank you.
I've heard all of this before, but the way you said it all was very compelling.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like, and I even said this in a little interview that I did for New Haven Ballet a few weeks ago, because we're doing an event called The Great Give.
Wait, you did an interview for New Haven Ballet?
A little bit of an interview. I didn't even tell you this, Claire, but basically, Miss Talia, one of my teachers, Claire, you know Miss Talia. Talia came up to me and she's like, would you like to do a quick little interview about what ballet means to you so that we could share it with our sponsors who donate in The Great Give event? And The Great Give event is basically just... I think you know, Claire, but a bunch of sponsors give donations to our company so that we can perform. We usually do it right around the time of performance so that we can get things that we need, like, you know, scenery and lighting and costumes and, you know, whatever else we might need for that performance. And they just help to sort of fund us, and we're so grateful. But I did do a little interview, and Miss Talia was like, you're so great at talking. I want you to kind of talk to our sponsors and just thank them and tell them what this means to you.
That's amazing.
Our performances are free to the public as of right now because they're video performances. So.
Oh yeah.
So like to watch
New Haven Ballet website.
New Haven Ballet website or Instagram. You can see some clips of us mentioning
there. A promotion for New Haven Ballet at the same time.
Yes, self promo.
Until I then switch gears and I say, I did quit New Haven Ballet.
You did, which was so sad. But the saddest part was that you had that week planned that you were going to come and like do your final goodbyes, and that week you got quarantined. I was so upset.
Yeah, no, that was such a shame that I got quarantined that last week.
We never really got closure.
I never got to say goodbye to any teachers, and really, the only person who I've really kept in touch with is you.
Yeah, I love when we take our little trips to Guilford, and you come visit me in New Haven.
Yes, I love how, if you don't live in Connecticut, well, the people maybe listening from Chicago, the people from Chicago who may be listening are maybe like, I have no idea what this is, but if you live in Connecticut, you're in luck.
Because you know exactly where we're talking about.
Yeah.
But also, funny story, kind of unrelated, but I had this friend from Maryland, and she moved to Connecticut. She actually recently moved back to Maryland. Mm-hmm. Well, not so recently, about a year ago. But we were talking, and she's like, before I moved to Connecticut, before my parents told me that we were moving to Connecticut, I didn't even know that Connecticut existed. I was like, wow, we'd be a relevant state. Mind you, we were like in third grade, so like obviously not all of us knew all of our 50 states. But she's like, yeah, I didn't even like acknowledge that Connecticut was like real. She was like, oh yeah, I just thought I knew that like there was like places near New York, but it was all New York to me. And I was like, okay.
Well, when I moved to Connecticut, I knew what it was. So maybe that's just
I keep forgetting that you're not originally from Connecticut. Yeah.
No, I guess I moved here almost 5 years ago. So
it's
in a few years it'll be more Connecticut than Chicago. I've said this before, but I moved from Chicago.
Yeah.
The Midwest.
And contrary to popular belief, there is no Stars Hollow as in Gilmore Girls.
Oh yes. We just need to talk about Gilmore Girls.
Yes,
but
you do.
There is no Stars Hollow, Connecticut.
And, that's so sad.
And another disappointing thing is that it's not even based. It was a set. The whole thing was a set.
Yup. Oh, it's terrible. But it kind of reminds me of like Guilford a little bit. Like if Guilford was a little more farmy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I feel
not farmy, Stars but you Hollow, know what I mean?
I feel like Stars Hollow is just tiny.
Absolutely. Everyone knows everybody, which is kind of applicable here. I mean, not as much as there, but. Yeah,
I mean, Stars Hollow, granted, it is a TV show, but there's, like, exactly, like, 30 people in the town.
Yes.
It seems as if that's the case.
It's kind of funny. But also, even though I am a native resident of Connecticut, I actually found myself Googling, is Stars Hollow a real town?
Yeah. It's just, you can't help but wonder if it is, and then you get disappointed when it's not. My brother and I always joke. I've said on here my brother likes Gilmore Girls, too.
Yes.
But my brother and I joke, if Stars Hollow is so small, how did they have, like, a full-on hockey team at the high school? Like,
that is such a good point.
The
you know what?
Logistics
Tommy makes a very good point.
Yeah, Tommy does make a good point. It just doesn't match up. So, you know, it is what it is. Okay, so I guess since I haven't been on here in, like, it'll be over a month, okay, in the past month, I turned 14.
Yay! Happy birthday!
Thank you. Belated.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's very belated, but I did tell you happy birthday on your real birthday. I'm
not
a bad friend.
You did. It's been a kind of crazy past month. I'm sorry I haven't done an episode of the pod. I also had spring break, so everything just kind of happened, and then I just took a week off. So a little hiatus, a little spring break, a little extended spring break. But
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's already May. May the 4th be with you, Ava.
May the 4th be with you.
Today is May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
So on this May 4th, let's talk about how the vaccines and how 12 to 15-year-olds are going to be able to get Pfizer vaccines very soon. How do we feel?
So excited. So relieved. When I read it in, I think, a few weeks ago, maybe last week, and in CNN, I was so excited. I was thrilled. I know that there has been a lot of controversy around it, and, like, I've been speaking with a few of my friends, also in that age range, you know, 12 to 15, and we've been kind of debating back and forth whether we trust the vaccine, whether we want to get it. Is it worth the potential side effects, do you think?
100%.
I agree. I have made the point to so many people that, like, it's just like the flu vaccine, and it's just, it's good to have, and even though our age group isn't necessarily as vulnerable or, you know, susceptible to the virus or it's, like, really bad side effects, I do think that because the majority of us are in-person school now, with other people and other students, and, you know, wow, if depending on your family's choices, you know, being out in the world, like, how much contact you have with other people, I just think it's a good idea to have, and I'm very much willing to, you know, be sick for a few, like, for, like, a week or so, for all of the potential, you know, good things that can come 100%.
And it's not even a week. It's just,
yeah, it's really,
it's like a day afterwards. You feel sick for a day afterwards, but to be honest, I'll take that risk. It says all in all, then COVID can be close to eliminated and we can go back to normal life.
Yes, or as close to normal as possible.
Exactly. We're also really fortunate that we live in Connecticut, a state that has been heavily vaccinated.
Right.
So
yeah, and we're saying this coming from complete privilege in the way that, you know, our families have been vaccinated for the most part, and many people around us have been vaccinated, and vaccines are being, like, offered to us. So I do think that we are coming from privilege.
Yeah, if you have the opportunity to get vaccinated, it's a no-brainer, at least in my opinion.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I'm excited to have the opportunity to get the vaccine relatively soon. And, you know, hopefully no more quarantining.
Yeah.
Let's move on a little bit. And
yes, let's lighten up the
mood. Ava, tell us, we'll finish with this. Tell us about the music you're listening to recently.
Okay, so music has kind of been my escape lately. I've definitely been into a lot of music. So recently I've been kind of going with, like, what every teenager is going, getting into. It's sort of like that indie pop, you know, like that kind of genre.
Examples of songs?
Examples of songs.
/ artists?
Okay, so also, I've been going kind of back into some early 2000s music as well. Mm-hmm. So for some examples of my more recent indie pop type songs, I've been into Phineas. So if you don't know Phineas, he is Billie Eilish's brother. She's putting out a new album.
Please take a second and talk about how Billie Eilish, along with Timothy Chalamet, Naomi Osaka, and Amanda Gorman are going to be hosting the Met Gala.
Yes, so excited. So excited. They all deserve it so much. So
yeah, that's a really good group.
People.
That's a really, really good group.
Yes, and especially Billie Eilish and Timothy Chalamet specifically being so young.
Yeah, but also, like, how old is Amanda Gorman? Like,
exactly, yeah, I just said those two off the top of my head, but they're all very fairly young people.
Yeah, also, yeah, Naomi Osaka is really young, too. They're all early 20s, I believe.
Yes.
Which is insane.
I believe Billie Eilish is the youngest person. She's 19.
Yeah. Yeah, and Timothy's
probably
the oldest at 25.
And it's a great accomplishment.
Yeah. Really, it's... That was really cool. That was announced, I believe, yesterday or the day before.
That was announced. Billie Eilish has had so many announcements. Speaking of Billie Eilish, I am a huge fan. But she's had so many announcements in the past few days. She's going to be, obviously, Met Gala, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's putting out a new album. She put out a new song Thursday. And the Vogue magazine cover shoot.
Yes.
That was
American,
that was
Vogue?
No, British Vogue, sorry.
Okay.
But, yes, that was very nice, too. So, we've had a lot going on there.
Yeah, Billie Eilish racking up the accomplishments.
Yes. But, okay, sort of back on track,
yes.
I was talking about Billie Eilish's brother. So, mm-hmm. He's a little bit older than her. I'm not sure by how many years. But he often co-writes and produces a lot of her music. But he has music of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been definitely into Phineas. I was kind of into his music around this time last year during quarantine. And I've kind of circled back and revisited some of those. Very good. Would recommend his music. I have really, and this I'm not really sure what category you would fall into, probably a few, but Tyler, the Creator, that is,
yeah,
I'm really obsessed with.
I feel like that's rap.
It's pretty much, it's like rap. It has a little bit of pop influence, but I am really liking Tyler, the Creator, and I am not one to like rap, but for some reason, there is just something in that music. Very addicting, I must say.
Yeah, there are definitely always a nice beat drop involved.
Yes.
You keep going, please.
I'm kind of scrolling through my Spotify right now and looking at all of my music that I listen to. I am finding that I actually have a lot of hits from the 80s.
Such as?
So, yeah. So, we have a little, not necessarily from the 80s, but we have a little bit of Beatles moment. So, I'll just say some older music. We have a lot of Beatles music.
Do you have a favorite Beatles song?
Oh my goodness, you can't ask that question because I can't pick.
I'm sorry.
That's unfair.
Pick one.
Oh my goodness, I don't know. Recently, I've been listening to, I like Blackbird. Blackbird is a very good song. That is definitely one that I've been listening to a lot for some reason. I don't know why. And also, I've been listening to a little bit of, ABBA, because I've been hearing Dancing Queen on TikTok a lot. Yes.
Like, so ABBA, kind of, like Mamma Mia? Like, all those songs? Yeah, I went through a Mamma Mia phase of my own back a few years ago.
Gotta love a little Mamma Mia.
Do you have a favorite Mamma Mia song?
I don't know. It's all pretty good. I wasn't really into Mamma Mia as much as other people were.
After I watched I don't think I've even watched the first Mamma Mia. I watched the second Mamma Mia. I remember going into sixth grade. And that just really stuck. And I loved the music. I loved the music. And I went through a very hardcore Mamma Mia song phase.
Gotta love that. That's so, so in character for you. Because it just matches your personality so well that you would go through a Mamma Mia phase.
Yeah, I mean, I go through those phases. I mean, I've been in the Hamilton phase for a few months too long at this point. But yes. Loving it, loving every moment of it. Okay, so tell us more about your music.
Oh my goodness, there's so much. I have a playlist. I know some people organize their music into a bunch of different playlists for a bunch of different things, and I used to have that. And then I combined all of my playlists into a 12-hour and 3-minute playlist consisting of over 200 songs. So we have a lot of music. But I'm definitely into sort of that indie pop, I guess. I don't really know what classified as. I'm definitely into The Neighborhood. A little bit of a swear weather moment going on. Let's see. Kind of looking through my list. Also some early 2000s, we have some U2. Beautiful Day, one of my favorite songs.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. I know. We have some, my music taste is all over the place.
Yes.
But, yes it is. How about you? I'm bouncing the question back over to you. Tell me something.
Music?
Yes.
Well, okay, so you were saying how the way people make playlists. I probably have around 200 playlists on my Spotify, but that's because I make playlists with, like, 3 songs.
Oh my goodness, yes. It would be, like, for, like, exact scenarios. Like,
yeah, the day. It's just what I want to listen to on that day, and I'll make a playlist. But actually, I've been sticking to this one playlist because I actually just got Spotify Premium, so it's not like I need it's not like I need to press shuffle with, like, a really specific amount of songs. Now I can just click on the song I want to play. And on this playlist, probably Majority Hamilton. Majority Hamilton and Taylor Swift.
I remember you sending me your Spotify Wrapped last year, and it was just all the top 3 songs were Hamilton. I was like, oh,
well, no, it was the top 3 artists were Hamilton.
Okay.
That was a bit of an issue. I saw that, and I was like, this is really, really, really embarrassing. Like, why is the Broadway cast of Hamilton my number one artist?
I actually saw somebody make a TikTok about that, and I meant to send it to you. But it's that with that audio that says, you're ruining my chance of getting a puppy. That is correct, Shorty.
Yeah.
And it was my chances of having a good Spotify Wrapped, and then the guy's text, Shorty, was Hamilton music. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so on brand for Claire.
And also, I've recently been seeing some Hamilton songs on my For You page. Like, just, like, little snippets. Which one is it?
Some of those are so good for TikTok fans.
It was, it's the ones where it's, like, not you. And it's like,
oh, yes, yes.
If you had more time. Pardon my awful singing. But that's actually, believe it or not, that song, it'll, do you know what I'm talking about? Like
I do.
That trend?
I'm not sure that anyone else knows what you're talking about, but I do.
Okay, good. Let's hope other people see this. But the song is Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Her Story. And that is my favorite Hamilton song, probably.
Really? Okay. Very interesting.
It's that, I have a few, probably, yeah, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Her Story, Guns and Ships, and the Reynolds pamphlet's really good, too, and I saw that on my For You page as well.
Very nice. I like the one, I actually am not that familiar with Hamilton. I must say, I was kind of underwhelmed, I'm sorry, but Hamilton is not my thing. But either way, I do love the song in the right of the beginning. With the Skylar sisters, and they do get Angelica,
yeah,
and Peggy. That's, I feel like that's so iconic.
Yeah, the song the Skylar sisters. Like that one's really good too.
Yes.
That was one of my faves. But I remember in sixth grade, I really liked that song, and I couldn't stop listening to it. I've gone through Hamilton like waves. Let's say that was one of my that was a phase of my Hamilton obsession, and now here I am. But yeah, my brother said, if I was president, I would eliminate Hamilton. And I said, why? And he said, you ruined it for me.
Oh my goodness.
So that's
very nice. I love how Tommy's making plans for when he's president. Gotta love that.
Yeah, he's already campaigning. It's like 2030 something when he can be 2040 something. Well, if you see Tommy Corman on the ballot in who knows how many years, 24 years, just... Okay, well, thank you a million times.
Thank you,
Ava, for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening to today's episode. Again, I apologize for my little hiatus in April, but glad to be back. I hope to produce many more episodes in the future. And thank you all for listening. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at Young Satire Pod. And on there, of course, I will have a great post with Ava's face probably on it. about the podcast. And Ava, anything to say?
Just thank you so much. I'm so glad that I got to spend this time with you and talk, and I'm glad that the listeners, I got to reconnect with you guys again. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone. Have a phenomenal Friday. Bye.